Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from England, we have Sister Rose Rowling. Sister Rose is a novice with the English Dominican Congregation of St. Catherine of Siena, based in Cambridge. Her preaching today is entitled, An Act of Entrustment.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary of Magdala. Seeing his mother and the disciple he loved standing near her, Jesus said to his mother, Woman, this is your son. Then to the disciple he said, This is your mother. And from that moment, the disciple made a place for her in his home. When I felt called by God to become a religious sister, my most pressing concern was for my mother. My mother is single and with no other children. This weighed heavy on me. I worried how she would feel, how it would impact her emotionally, spiritually, financially. I worried how I would experience our separation. I wondered whether God was truly asking me to leave her, when it seemed on the human level to be imprudent or even cruel. And yet, my mother always wanted me to be free to make my own choices in life, to live authentically and with integrity wherever it would take me, even if she couldn't understand the choices I made. It took an enormous act of trust for me to accept that if God was calling me to religious life, then surely he would take care of what I cared about, first and foremost, my own mother. In today's gospel, the most singularly destructive act done by man is happening. Jesus, our God, is being crucified. The last words of a dying person hold a particular fascination and gravity to us as human beings. What are the words Jesus utters in the middle of his death agony? These, Woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, he took his disciple into his home. These words are the moment of Christ's entrustment of Mary to all believers. There are two important points about the act of entrustment. St. John's response, he who is symbolic of all disciples, and Mary's identity and vocation in the church. First of all, the act of entrustment is more radical than perhaps we sometimes realize. The many anecdotes I have heard from medical staff, priests, or military personnel relay that those who are dying most frequently call out for their mother. Dying returns us to the vulnerability and dependency of childhood. It completes the life cycle we have been given. It is natural to long for our mother, when in fact we are being prepared for our father. Christ, fully human, also addresses his mother in the hour of death. Christ, fully divine, goes further. Mary is addressed as woman rather than as mother. The difference in Mary's title is significant. First, it is a profound act of personal detachment. The natural affective bond uniting Christ to Mary is surrendered and made spacious to receive others. This is not the detachment of disinterest, but of sacrificial love. As St. John of the Cross would testify in his work, The Ascent of Mount Carmel, 1800 years later, detachment is the path to perfect union. Christ does not cling to his mother self-centeredly, instinctually, as could be expected of any other dying man, but entrusts her to St. John as a most precious parting gift. She is his last will and testament. Secondly, it is through his death that he releases her into a new and glorious vocation. Mary will be mother and queen of the church. This continues and intensifies the embryonic vocation that developed within her at the Annunciation. In conceiving Christ physically, Mary also conceived what would emerge as his spiritual, mystical body, which is the church. At the crucifixion, Christ's life momentarily eclipses as a consequence of death, while Mary's expands as she inherits every spiritual child her son's blood will ransom. Christ's address to her as woman is therefore a reference to her as the new Eve, and it moves her from being his particular mother to mother of all believers. Christ dies in total poverty, materially and spiritually. He gave away his life, and he gave away his mother for our sake. A maternal relationship with Mary is a gift Christ gives to each Christian, but not one that is automatic. Attachment takes time. I was a Catholic for about 6 years before I truly discovered a relationship with Mary. As Jesus himself says, "You do not cast pearls before swine. You do not give what is precious where it cannot or will not be valued." Of all the 12 apostles, Christ specifically chose St. John to care for Our Lady, for he was found worthy of the gift. Entrusted with Mary, St. John's response is to take her into his own home. These words teach us the heart of Marian devotion and consecration. We actively need to make room for Our Lady in our hearts, to willingly entrust ourselves to her care and intercession, confident she will always lead us to her son. When I entered the convent, my mother and I thought we were losing each other, a necessary separation as part of the cost of discipleship. At the foot of the cross, it must have looked the same to those on the outside. Mary, the mother of a convicted blasphemer, left widowed and now childless, a totally vulnerable position in first century Palestine, and still a precarious one today for many women across the world. The early church recognized this, perhaps all the more urgently in the face of Mary's own heroism. The letter of St. James 1:27 would later say that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. The predestination of Christ, recognized by Simeon during Christ's presentation in the temple, was recognized as a sword that would pierce Mary's own soul too. Yet, her fate was not only to experience grief. The gift of a child is always a double-edged sword of holding joy and sorrow together. At the foot of the cross, Mary is already the first heiress of the resurrection. She is the vigilant, keeping watch over the promise, as she receives St. John and the disciples as spiritual children. Christ promised to those who left the good things of the world to follow him that they would receive a hundredfold. It was true of Our Lady. It is true of my own mother. Through entering the convent, my mother's mission also expanded. She did not lose her only child, but gained a whole community of spiritual daughters and sisters. The power of grace is such that our hearts can stretch beyond the bounds of our own natural blood ties to encompass those who need the gift of our own sacrificial spiritual maternity, the gift so extravagantly expressed by Our Lady of Sorrows.